I bless God for this moment. Again, I cannot express enough my deep admiration and appreciation for both the co-pastors of this church, Pastor Carpenter. And I tell you, as we get ready to go into our 10th year with the Downtown Bible Study, it was 10 years ago we started, and I did honestly go to an association that I will not name and say to a group of preachers, I said, you know, I'm thinking about starting something downtown. Maybe we could do it together and everybody take a little time and we can, you know, kind of round robin it. We can just do something together. Looked like I was speaking to deer in the headlights. They just looked at me like I was crazy. Ain't nobody want to do it. All right. Okay. So then we started doing it, and Pastor Carpenter started coming, and then after a while he started jumping in and helping, and our friendship formed through a Bible study. And amen, our friendship formed in a Bible study. And then after a year or two, and the fellas started seeing what was going on, then they started the "Hey Doc, can I" stuff. And I was like, between me and Carpenter, we got it on lock, y'all. I said, that's all right. And I bless God for the friendship. I bless God. We've grown to love and appreciate the creative approach to ministry that happens right here. And they are a couple of integrity. It is rare. Amen. Amen. It is rare, and those of us who have the opportunity to travel, and those of us who know other ministry couples, it is rare to find a husband and wife ministry team who both are gifted and they're able to handle their anointing and their relationship together. Amen. And so I am always awestruck by being in their presence, and so I'm grateful. I'm grateful to them. Would like to invite you to a very familiar passage of Scripture found in the book of Mark, the 5th chapter. I'm going to pick up at the 35th verse, Mark 5:35. God, I love you and I bless your name. Thank you for the songs of Zion and the prayers of faith, and now we turn to hear a word from you. I have studied, but I need your strength. I've prepared, but I need your power. I'm willing and I want to, but only you can make me able. Silently now I wait for thee. Ready, my Lord, thy will to see. Open mine eyes and illumine me, Spirit divine. Amen.
Amen.
Mark 5, beginning with the 35th verse, you find these words. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, "Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further?" As soon as Jesus heard this word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, "Be not afraid, only believe." And he suffered no man to follow him, save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, "Why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth." And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with him, and entereth in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, "Talitha kumi," which is being interpreted, "Damsel, I say unto thee, arise." And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with a great astonishment. Again, that 39th verse says, "And when he was come in, he saith unto them, Why maketh ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleep." Well, And I want to talk to somebody from the subject, a second opinion.
Well,
I'm going to get a second opinion.
My God.
Whenever you get a bad word from the doctor, whenever the doctor tells you you're going to have surgery, whenever you get something from the doctor you don't like hearing, you ought to go off and get a second opinion.
My God.
Doesn't necessarily mean that the doctor is wrong, but it's just always good to get a second opinion. And I want to talk to somebody tonight because often the first word that the world gives you on you is not always the accurate word for your life. And the truth of the matter is, if you allow other folk to define you, you might not ever risk walking into what God has called you to do and or to be.
Amen.
You need to get a second opinion.
My God.
Because the reality is, for most of us, there's always something about me or you that's not right for somebody else. I got news for you. For somebody, you're too short. For somebody else, you're too tall. For somebody, you're too dark. For somebody else, you're too light. For somebody, you're too educated. For somebody, you're too dumb. For somebody, you're too woman. For somebody else, you're too much man. For somebody, you're too thick. For somebody else, you're too thin. For somebody, you from the wrong part of Philly. For somebody, you're just right. The reality is, there'll always be something about you that somebody doesn't like. I got news for you. You may not like it, but there's somebody that doesn't like you. And they don't even have a good reason for it. They don't like you because your eyes opened up this morning and you got up. I got news that there's not a thing you can do to change it. You can try talking to them. You can try doing what they want you to do. But some folk don't like it because they just don't like you. And if you give them too much power, they'll begin to tell you what you can do. They'll begin to tell you what you can be. They'll also tell you what you can't do. They'll also tell you what you can't be. And if you allow them to be the last word in your life, you will stay where you are. That's why you need a second opinion. And I want to talk to somebody tonight, not only that has had to deal with folk and their projections from you, but thematically, like last night, often people will look at what you do or what you have experienced, and based on that one thing, will make up in their mind who you are and what you can be.
Amen.
And sometimes you and I will buy into it. I'm talking to somebody tonight that's got some mistakes on the record.
Come on.
Or some bad choices on the record. Got some stuff you're not proud of, and because of it, you're allowing that to be the final word in your life. But I got news for you. If you turn your stuff over to the Lord, if you take it in to Dr. Jesus, as my grandmother would say, if you get another opinion from him, you might find out that what other folks say it can't be because they think it's impossible, you'll come to find out that with God, all things are possible, but you need to get a second opinion. Touch your neighbor saying, I'm going to get a second opinion. Well, you know this passage of scripture. You know the story. And this is the real story of the fifth chapter, but you're used to the little story that fits into this story.
All right, well.
Most of us know this story because of the break-in story or the breaking news story of the woman with the issue of blood.
All right.
But the woman with an issue of blood is really an outside intrusion into the story of Jairus and his daughter.
All right.
This is the story of a ruler of the synagogue named Jairus. Jairus has gotten word that his daughter is sick. And so Jairus, using his influence, or supposedly his influence,
all right,
goes over to Jesus and says, I want you to come to my house because my daughter is sick and she's in need of a healing. Now, I need you to put a pin right there because he said, I need you to come to my house. So then as Jesus is walking with Jairus, there they are in the crowded metropolis. And so as they walk through the streets, they're bumping into people. As they're walking through the streets, that's where this other story comes in. This woman with an issue of blood decides, I've got to touch him. I've got to get this thing off of me, and I'm going to get my issue healed. And so this woman breaks through the crowd. She touches people. Finally, she touches Jesus. When she touches Jesus, Jesus said, somebody touched me because I felt something leave me. Now, there's an interesting dialogue that goes on with Jesus and that crazy guy from last night, Peter, because Jesus says, somebody touched me. Peter in the text says, you tripping, Jesus. Of course somebody touched you. A whole lot of people touched you. We in a big old crowd, everybody touching you. And Jesus says, if you allow me to wallerize it, he says, I know the difference between a bump and a touch. Because everybody bumping me ain't touching me. So this one lady touched me. And I know she touched me. She touched me right because something left me. So then Jesus turns around, sees the woman, and the woman begins to tell him, the Bible says, everything. She begins to tell him the whole story. So then by this time, they're standing there. Jairus, in the 35th verse, someone comes up and tells Jairus, don't even bother the master. Maybe had you got there on time, you would have made it. But your daughter that was sick, since y'all were out here fooling with this woman, she's dead. So then Jesus turns to Jairus and said, don't even trip. Don't worry about it. If you just believe, everything will be all right. So then they go on to the house. And when they get to the house, everybody's already planning the funeral. And they're all beginning to cry and they're all upset. And Jesus says, why are you all making all this noise? She's not dead. She's just asleep. But then some folk looked at Jesus like he was crazy. And they started laughing at him. And then Jesus went Martin on them. He said, get out. Y'all remember Martin? He said, get to stepping. And so he put them out of the house. And then he raised the girl up and said, Talitha kumi. In other words, Jesus showed up and gave a second opinion. Well, that's the story, but there's a few things in the story that help me to know that no matter what you had to say, if Jesus looks at my situation and if Jesus speaks to my situation, I can rise again. Well, the first thing in the text I think we need to remember is whenever you get a bad report, you've got to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. Well, that's what I like about Jairus in the text, because the text says that as soon as Jairus found out about his sick daughter, he ran to Jesus. Now, the reason I know that might sound simple and sophomoric to you, because this is the Philadelphia Prayer, Praise and Worship Center, and you all know that you ought to go to Jesus, but a whole lot of Christians usually wait and bring Jesus kicking and screaming in when all else has been used up. You can tell how we do it. Have you ever thought about how we treat prayer? We treat prayer like a last resort. You hear it in the hospital all the time. We'll say things like this. Well, it's in God's hands now. Well, whose hands do you think it was in when you first came in here? You know, while the doctors think they know what they're doing, we think it's in the doctor's hands. Then all of a sudden, when the doctors admit they can't do anything else, all of a sudden it's in God's hands. But I got news for you. When the doctor thought he had it under control, it was still in God's hands. When you woke up this morning with the activity of your limbs, you were in God's hands. You ought
not wait till it gets out of your control before you give it to God to handle. Am I talking to anybody in here? You've got to learn how to pray on the front end of some stuff and don't bring Jesus kicking and screaming on the back end of some stuff. Let me see if I can make it plain. That didn't work. The challenge with our prayer lives is that usually we send up foxhole prayers when we get deep in trouble. But if you learn how to talk to God, then you don't have to be so religious when you call on Him because you're in a regular conversation. Oh, let me see if I can make this thing plain. My wife is here tonight, and I love her like cooked food with hot sauce on it, and I really do. But there is a generational curse in my wife's life, and she got it from her mother. She's passing it on down to our daughters, and there is this thing that goes on between all four of those women. My wife and I have been married for 23 years. We've been married for 23 years. We dated 4 years before that. That's 27 years. More than half our life, we've been together. But she talks, and of those 27 years, I don't think there's one day that she has not talked to her mother. And of the 23 years we've been married, I don't think there is a day that her mother has not called the house or she has called her mother. And since our daughters have gone to college, I don't think there is a day that them girls don't call their mother. No, I didn't say their father. I said they call their mother, or that their mother does not call those girls. So that there is this conversation that goes on between my wife and her mother, my mother-in-law and her daughter, my wife and her daughters, my daughters and their mother. So much so that every day the Lord sends, they are on the phone talking to each other. And what I have noticed is that they talk so regularly that they don't even do the things that normal people do when you start and end conversation. Like most of you, if your phone rings, you will say, "Hello, how are you? This is so-and-so." No, they don't have to do that. When they call each other, they just pick up. And what I was saying was, and then they'll just keep on, and then they'll just hang up. There's no opening salutation. There's no closing benedictions. There's just this ongoing conversation that never stops. Come here. When you really have a relationship with God, you ain't got to get on your knees talking about, "Oh God, thou who art from everlasting to everlasting." You learn how to have a little talk with Jesus. Am I talking to anybody in here that you ain't got to be religious? You could just say, "Jesus, I need you right now. Jesus, help me figure this thing out. Jesus, I'm calling on you." Take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. The first part of this thing, if you're going to get a second opinion, you got to learn how to talk to the doctor. But then I think what the text is tailored to teach us is that your emergency is not God's emergency. Well, now, you do remember how this thing goes. Jairus goes over to Jesus and says, "I need you to come to my house." Now, it is fair to assume that Jesus is on Jairus's dime. Well, so as they are on their way to the house, then this woman with the issue of blood breaks in.
Yes.
And the text says that she gets something from Jesus, and then they stop, and she begins to tell, as the Bible says, the whole thing. Now, please understand that what the text is trying to teach us is that she stopped Jairus' promenade to his house. So they had to sit there while this woman explained everything to Jesus. So in other words, the Bible says that she had been sick 12 years. And it says that she had spent all her money in different physicians. And so when it says that she told Jesus everything, it means that she basically did this. She said, "And the first year I went down to Mesopotamia, And when I went down there, I tried some hyssop, and it didn't work. And then my cousin told me to go up to Egypt next year, and I went up to Egypt. And when I went up to Egypt, I tried to take some of those Egyptian baths, but that didn't work. And then the next year, I went down to Phrygia. Now, when I was in Phrygia, I met this other doctor, and he gave me some, but he didn't take my insurance. And then I went up to Pamphylia, and when I was in Pamphylia, we had some real problems there. And she went through the whole thing. So Jairus is sitting here like, Jesus, my daughter is sick. If I were a better preacher, you'd be throwing something at me right now. Because the truth of the matter is, God is trying to teach Jairus something in this moment. You need to understand that God is not trapped in time. And just because God doesn't fix it when you want it fixed, doesn't mean it can't be fixed. Am I talking to anybody that understands what this means? He may not come when you want him, but he's always right on time. And you don't even know what it feels like to pray until you prayed all night long. Am I talking to anybody in here that knows what it means to pray tonight and pray tomorrow night and pray the next night? Does anybody in here know about praying for your child for a year before it gets right? Praying for your marriage for a year before it gets right. But you just hold on and God makes ways out of no way. Your emergency. That's why I need somebody not to give up tonight. Just because it's not fixed yet doesn't mean God isn't going to work it out. And just because it's not where you want it yet does not mean God is not going to get it to where it needs to be. Because I think you need to know the text is tailored to teach us that God will use seasons and situations to grow our faith. I know you need help with that. You do remember what Jairus said. I told you, where's that pen I told you? Right here. Remember, Jairus said, I need you to come to my house to heal my daughter. Now, Jairus' faith is all right, but his faith is still spatially challenged. Because all Jairus has is enough faith to believe that if I can get Jesus in the room, then he can fix it. But Jairus only has enough faith to believe that he's got to be there at the right time and he's got to be in the right space. But remember, there is a centurion soldier that taught us about faith in Jesus. This soldier that told Jesus, you ain't got to come to my house because I know how authority works. If you just say the word. Huh. Now, how are we going to get Jairus from this spatially challenged position of faith to a faith that said, just say the word? In comes the woman with the issue of blood. You need to understand that this is a setup. And it doesn't have anything to do with the woman with the issue of blood. It has everything to do with teaching Jairus about who Jesus is. So here Jairus is believing that his stuff is messed up. So here he is, and the 35th verse says somebody comes to him and gives him bad news. Your daughter is dead. But what he is experiencing, he's looking at good news. Because at the very time he's hearing that his daughter is dead, he is watching Jesus heal a woman who'd been sick for 12 long years. Oh, I missed it. This must not be on. He's getting word that his daughter, who is 12 years old, is sick and dead. But he's watching Jesus heal a woman who's been sick for 12 years. I'm going to try it one more time and somebody's going to take a lap. He got word that his 12-year-old daughter is dead, but he's looking at Jesus heal a woman who's been sick for 12 years. What he heard ought to make him lose faith, but what he's looking at is helping him know if God can do it for her, I'm trying to help somebody in here. Somebody in here needs to understand that every now and then you have been that woman with the issue of blood. Your situation wasn't even about you. God just allowed it to happen to you so that somebody else can see what he's doing in you, so it will help their faith get to the next level. God will use seasons to help your situation grow. But here it is. If you're going to get a second opinion, and if God is going to do his new thing in you, you got to hang out with the right people. It's in the text. It's in the text. Now remember what happens when Jesus gets in there. He says, "Why are y'all crying? She's not dead. She's asleep." Everybody laughed at him. And then remember I told you, he went Martin on this. He said, "Get to stepping." He said, "Y'all got to get out of here." But you need to understand what was going on in that context. When he kicked them out of the room, it is because of a theological principle that has already been established in his ministry. Do you remember way back in the beginning of his ministry, the first time he went back to Nazareth? And do you remember that when he went back to Nazareth, the Bible says that he could only do a few miracles. And the reason was the lack of faith or the faithlessness of the people in Nazareth. Let me see if I can help you. You do remember that story? And here it is. The story is that when Jesus went back to Nazareth, somebody said they saw him out there preaching. And somebody said, "Ain't that Mary's baby?" Yeah. Now you need to understand, when they said, "Isn't that Mary's baby," it was a derogatory phrase. Yeah. 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 Because what they were saying was, you see, there were some people in Nazareth that never bought the story. So when they said, "Ain't that Mary's baby? And aren't his little brothers James and Joseph? Or don't they? Aren't they? Isn't that them around here?" So then one of the old ladies began to say, you know, "Let me tell you something. That guy out there doing all that preaching, that's Mary's first child. And the truth is, he ain't Joseph." Now, you ain't going to believe this, but Mary, when she was engaged to Joseph, she ended up pregnant. And then, of all things, she said it was the Holy Ghost. Now, y'all know Joseph is a good man, and he could have put her away, but he didn't, because he's a good man like that. But child, everybody know that wasn't no Holy Spirit. Everybody know that was Octavius's baby. That's him out there. You see, there were some people, the implication of the text was, there were some people that never did believe the story. So that when Jesus came back claiming to be the Son of God, they did not believe in him. And because they did not believe in him, their faithlessness created a context where his miraculous power could not work. You're looking at me like I'm crazy, but it is a theological truth that if you're hanging out with folk that don't believe in God, then you will block the power of God in your life. If you've got a bunch of folk around you that don't know how to get a prayer through, then you will block the possibilities of your life. I said it and I ain't taking it back. There's some folk that I ain't hanging out with. I am believing God for some miracles. I am believing God for my next level. I am believing God for my power. If you don't believe in God, get to stepping. If you don't believe he's a healer, get to stepping. If you don't believe he's a heart fixer, a mind regulator, if you don't believe he can make ways out of no way. There's some folk you got to get out of your life. And I don't know about you, but I'm at a place in my life that if you hanging out with me, when I say Jesus, you got to say Christ. When I say holy, you say ghost. If I'm going to hang out with you, I want somebody that can get a prayer through. I want somebody that knows how to say hallelujah. I want somebody that's not afraid to praise him. Because when the praises of God go up, you got to hang with the right folk. So then he gives a second opinion. And she gets up and she begins to eat and talk. And that was simply a way of saying that I'm alive again. In other words, if you'll allow God to give you a second opinion, he can make your haters your elevators. If you allow God to give you a second opinion, he'll let you rise above those who want to keep you back. Do I have anybody in here that the world said you wouldn't make it? But God says now you are the sons and daughters of God, and it does not yet appear what you shall be. And I've stopped by to give you a second opinion. The second opinion is you will walk on your high places. The second opinion is God loves you. The second opinion is you will walk in the place that God has for you. The second opinion is God is not through with you yet. The second opinion is you are above and not beneath. The second opinion is your power is on the way. Your peace is on the way. Your protection is on the way. Your provision is on the way. I've got a second opinion that everything is going to be all right. See?